What would it be like? I know we're excited about another year. I mean, every day when you get older, you're always going, I'm excited about another morning, let alone another year. But if you really stop to think about it, the question that was posed to Terrence the other day that said, Howie, you get the credit for this one. I want to make sure everybody understands it was Howie that said it, not me. How do you feel? You were 40, now you're 41. Does it feel any different? You're still breathing. That's a good thing, right? That's always a good thing. What would it be like, though, if not only was it the end of the year, it was the end of life that we know it in this world? What if God said, it's done? Now, immediately, I know some of you would rush right over to the thing and say, praise God, the Messiah is coming back. Jesus is returning. The church is gone. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the fact that if God were to say to any one of us or to all of us, it's over. The life that you know in this world is finished. How would that impact your life? How would you look upon something like that? I know when you're young, you're going to go, oh, well, I'm not going to worry about that. And if you're older and you say, well, that wouldn't be so bad. But if God says it, who are we to deny it? Now, I'm not pronouncing the benediction on all of our lives today. That's not the point of this message. But the point of the message is a simple point. It's talk about being prepared. You know, preparedness, something we have done all of our lives and in every realm that we can talk about. Send our kids to school. We went to school. Hopefully you went to school. Some of you made it to sixth grade. I'm impressed. How many Jethro Bodines do I have here ciphering today? But we get educations. And we, in a preparedness to go on. Some of us went to the school of hard knocks. Some of us got the privilege of going to a university or going to places like that. I came prepared today to work. I wore steel-toe boots. I put my jeans on. I put a shirt on that I wear to work because some of you don't know the other side of my life. Most of you do, but some of you don't, that I still love to work with my hands. I don't mind rough 2x4s and pounding nails and doing things of that nature. That is something that I've done almost all my life, and I still enjoy that part about it. But I came today to say there's a preparation that we all need to make. You business people, you prepared, or you wouldn't have a business, or you wouldn't have much of a business. Unless you prepare, right? I mean, that's what businesses are. They are prepared to meet the needs no matter what that need is. I mean, whether you work with your hands or whether you work only with your head, and which is a great thing, whether you can put it on that little board and type all that little stuff up, I have no clue about that. I'm lucky to even turn the silly thing on. Then I asked Margaret to come tell me where I'm not. But we work at everything in life. That's general life. That's the preparedness that we do every day. But there was a statement made by one of the great prophets, even though he's called a minor prophet. He was a great prophet, and his name was Amos. And he writes in the 4th chapter of Amos at the 12th verse, says, 5 simple little words, prepare to meet thy God. That's a sobering thought. It's a sobering thought to me because of all the things that I prepare for all the time on a job site or everything, getting everything together, all the tools, all the materials, making sure everybody's doing what they're supposed to be doing, all that kind of, that's fantastic. But in the realm of religious life, Amos made a statement, and a statement that every one of us must face every moment of every day. not just at the end of a year, but this is important at the end of this year, in preparing our lives for next year, for what's going to transpire after midnight tonight. He says, prepare to meet thy God. And so the question is, are you prepared? Are you prepared to meet God? I would be very remiss if I did not say this to you on the last day of this year that God has given us. You have life, you have breath. Some of it's a little more difficult than it used to be. Some aches and pains to go along with it. And there are some today that are not here because they don't have a lot of breath or they're hurting and they just cannot make it. But every one of us need to make sure that we have prepared our hearts to meet our God. I like what Paul writes in Romans chapter 4, verse number 10. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Are you prepared for the eventual, and I mean eventual, meeting with God? Because we will all be there at one time or another. And it may not transpire today, but it might. It may not be in this next year, but it might. But the one thing that we can prepare ourselves for transpires in those five little words. Are you prepared to meet thy God? But in those five little words, I came up with three questions that came along with those five little words. And those questions are something you English people know all about. English majors and teachers, they always want to do this. Prepared to meet thy God. Why? Why? Prepared to meet thy God. How? Prepared to meet thy God. When? Those are all important questions. There are questions that we need to ask ourselves. Why? Prepared to meet thy God. Why? Well, the best thing I could come up with that one, because God commands it. That's exactly what he says. He commands us because he knows it. All throughout the Bible, everywhere you turn in the Word of God, there's an unbroken thread that has the same message. Prepare to meet thy God. From the very beginning, when Adam and Eve were in the garden, all the way through the book of the Revelation, it's always going to be this one thing. Prepare to meet thy God. Why? Because it is a command. It's a command to obedience. If we love the Lord, if we're going to do what the Lord says to do, that is what we've been given to do. Because God said, this is what I want you to do. He wasn't a suggestion, it was an absolute command. It's God's command. And this is why. Because it is God's command. And you and I, who say we live our lives contingent upon the very fact that we serve a sovereign, divine God, would we dare even think about going against that God? Would we dare to even come to a place in our lives to ignore him? If he makes a command, would we not live up to that command? I think it's a very reasonable question for the church today. I think it's a reasonable question for any person that walks the face of the earth today. You can't ignore God. Oh, you can say, well, he's not here, all this stuff. It's a command. And wisdom says to me, at 41, it said the same thing, Terrence, follow it. Do it. Follow after it. Without reserve and with all dedication, I am to do what God says because he commands it. But it's not the only reason. Because it's God's revelation to us. What is a revelation to you? It's showing you something that you didn't know before. He's revealing to you something about you as he reveals it about me. You realize that we have a revelation, and that revelation should say we have a moral sickness. And that moral sickness is called sin. And it's something that we have to face. I love what Jesus said in Luke's gospel in the 19th chapter. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Oh, there's another condition. There's a statement. There's a little word, and it's called lost. And that word is so powerful. What does that mean? What did Jesus say it meant? It means anybody that's outside of me. Anybody that's outside of Jesus Christ, the term lost applies. Nothing is more heartrending to me. We were shopping. We were actually in Phoenix with my brother and sister-in-law, and we were out shopping. And this little boy is crying. I mean, uncontrollable type crying. Why? I can't find my mommy. Come on, parents. You ever been there? When that child is missing, they wandered away from you. You have no clue where they wandered off to. You're hoping and praying they went someplace that, you know, they're safe. But you're frantic, aren't you? And it's a horrible feeling to think that a child is gone, that you do not know where they're. It's almost hopeless at times. The despair is great. I'm the guy that goes, it'll be okay. Let's calm down, because we will find that little boy. We'll find that little girl. We'll find that mom. We'll find that dad. We will find who this is. How many of you watched the movie Sound of Freedom? Did you see that? Heartrending. Crushing. It's crushing to think of what goes on in America today. Human trafficking, not that, sex trafficking of children. And it's more prevalent in our nation than anywhere else in the world. We do this all the time. And this is something that, do you realize, as terrible as that is, around you every single day, there are those that are lost and have never been found? Oh, I'm not talking about that strange child. I'm that child over there you don't think belongs. I'm talking about maybe a child in your own family. Or maybe I'm talking about you. We're lost in the sight of God. We're lost to our Father. I love the shirt. That's a great shirt. I love it. My DNA, your DNA is, yeah, I'm talking about you. Yes, I am. Yes. Man, she's wearing the shirt and doesn't even know it. Okay. But I love what is pointed out to me all the time. In the 53rd Psalm, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own ways, and God has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Why? Because we're lost. We are absolutely lost. He didn't stop there. He made this statement. He said, God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. And every one of them is gone back. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And then the preacher of Ecclesiastes would say, for there is not a good man on the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And then right back to Isaiah 53, I mispronounced that earlier. I said Psalm 53, because that is Psalm 53, the other one. But in Psalm 53, or in Isaiah 53, that's, we're all like sheep, and we've gone astray. We're lost. We're undone before God. He was talking about his own children. He was talking about Israel. He was talking about the very essence of what he had said. Do you remember in John's Gospel in the 3rd chapter? We all get to the point, John 3:16, we got that part down, remember? But you remember the subject? It was Nicodemus. You remember, here is a leader, a ruler of the Jews, and he's come to Jesus, as some would point out to me. He came by night. He came, didn't he? He showed up. But what did Jesus have to say to him? I'm sure it was out of a heart of kindness, as I'm trying to make this kindness to you today. He makes this statement to him. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Could you imagine what that did to a ruler, to a very religious man, a very moral man? And I think that of Nicodemus. I think he was a great man. I think he would be the kind of person that you and I would want to be around, whether he knew Jesus or not. You'd want to be around. But he sat with Jesus right there, but he didn't stop right there. Jesus said on to him, marvel not. He said, that I said unto you, you must be born again. It was something that made his mind spin. He couldn't quite get a grip on that. Can we? Now, we have the blessings of knowing what Jesus was talking about. We understand exactly what he was saying because he said it to each one of us. But he wasn't done with that. Luke's Gospel, 13th chapter, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or Paul in Romans chapter 3, the verse that we all talk about, for all have sinned, the 23rd, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But you can go back into John's Gospel, back into the 3rd chapter, again at the 36th verse. He says, he that believeth the Son hath everlasting life. He didn't say that he that joined the church has everlasting life. He didn't say if you got baptized, you have everlasting life. He didn't say if you followed this creed, you've got everlasting life, or this ceremony, or this form, or anything else. He made it very, very clear. He that believeth the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not, what happens to that person? You say, well, I'm not against God. But are you for him? Well, I would never turn my back, but would you turn your heart? Or would you find reservation? Or would you say something that may not be everything that I should be towards God? He that believeth not shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You see, it's important. It's an important thing to know why to prepare to meet thy God. It's an extremely important thing. And it's so important that you need to know too, and I'm sure that most every one of you know, but I would never want you to doubt this. This is about salvation is by a person. Salvation is not, it's not by this church. As much as I love our church, it's not about this church. It's not about some ordinance that we can print up. It's not about a sacrament or a creed or a ceremony or a form. It's not about any one of them. It's about one person, and his name is Jesus Christ. He is the divine Lord and Savior. That is what and why we need to know in our hearts why you should prepare to meet thy God. And for those that have done that, praise God. I'm not afraid of the judgment. I know who my advocate is. I know who my judge is. I know I'm under his blood. I'm not worried about it. Am I proud of my lifestyle? No, not always. But I know this, forgiveness is forgiveness. So what does it mean to be lost? What exactly does that mean? He said, well, I just haven't paid a lot of attention to that in my life. What did Jesus say? What shall it profit a man, a woman, a boy or a girl, if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What do you have that God wants in exchange to know that you have a soul? And that soul is right with him. My friends, if we die in our sins, when grace is so prevalent all around us, there is an eternity for those, as much as we preach heaven, as much as we believe in that, for those that have never received Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, there is a place that God had created for the fallen angels where everyone that does not trust the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will end up in. Oh, I know how the philosophy of today is. It's been around for thousands of years. And annihilation. That's exactly what, you're dead, you're dead. You're going in the grave. Yeah, you are. You're right. That part's right. You are going in a grave, but your soul is going to spend an eternity in hell. With all of those that have rejected Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. George W. Truett was a great man of God. Great man of God. Great preacher. Lived in a time that he could actually reach back. And he tells a story about a Confederate soldier. A boy, probably 14, 15 years old. Can you imagine? Can you imagine 15 years old fighting in a war? But this young boy had a great mom, loving mom, read the Bible all the time. When it came time for him to go, he said, I'm going to go fight. She said, well, I want you to take this New Testament, and I want you to promise me that you'll read it every day. I want you to know the God. I want you to know Jesus of this New Testament. And he promised. And he went off to war. He joined in with a group of those Southern Confederate Army, and they went into battles. He went to two or three battles, and he was fine. Yes, shots were fired, and people died, but he didn't. But then one day, an old burly sergeant came up and said, gentlemen, we are going into a fight that some of you are never going to come back from. That got that little boy's attention, a 15-year-old. And he began to tremble. Well, some of the old grizzled old veterans, they began to make fun of him. They said to him, now you're scared, you chicken. You're chicken, you're scared of death. He took it as long as he could take it, and he finally said, I am not afraid. I don't want to die, but I'm not afraid of dying. What I'm afraid of is what's going to happen after I die. Because this is what my mom told me, and I never took the time to read that little New Testament. I am not prepared. Are you afraid? I hope not. I hope you have prepared your heart. I think I've given you good reasons why. I think it's something that every one of us need to place our faith in. And we need to know why we do what we do. And that's something we should do. So what did Jesus mean when he said that being lost? It means that your soul is separated from him. It's separated from God. And it means something that for an eternity, you will be without God. Prepare to meet thy God. How? How do you prepare to meet God? You know, we have a lot of ideas today that go around, but I have to go back to this one. In the day that thou seekest me with all thine heart, I will be found of thee. I love Jeremiah. Oh, what a great prophet. You shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all of your heart. There's two plain truths right there. Right there in that word right there. It's called repentance towards God. That's the first one. It's very clear. And the other one, equally as strong or maybe stronger, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. People, we have a moral sickness. And it has plagued all of humanity. It always has plagued humanity. Our parents had it, grandparents, great-granny, all the way down through. I don't care how great they were. Everyone suffers from this. Why? Because we have violated God's law. We have violated the very things. We have transgressed against his precepts. The things that were so important to you. Will you not repent, is what Jeremiah is saying, of your evil way? Will you not go back? Will you not surrender to Jesus Christ? That should be the answer. How do I want to finish the year? I don't want to go into 24. Not knowing. People are turning away. Family members. They don't believe. There's no absolute surrender. Church members. I play the game, but I don't know the man. I do these things, but I don't know. Prepare to meet thy God. Why? Well, you know why. Prepare to meet thy God. How? Well, this is how you do it. You repent of your sins and beg God for his mercy to forgive you and let him come into your life and turn from your wicked ways. That's how. That is exactly how. Prepare to meet thy God. When? Whew. That's a tough one. But it's not tough. It's very simple. There'll come a time that you might go past that point. That's a very scary part. The when part is always the one that's up in the air. When will I die? I don't know. When will God call your name? I don't know. I don't know when he's going to call me. I have no idea. But I know this, while I walk in this world, there's a battle for this soul. There's a battle for your soul. A battle that is raging every day. And being lost, it means just putting it off. Not recognizing that there is a battle. Not recognizing that somebody wants you to get there and you wants to captivate your heart forever in a place that nobody wants to go to. How many have been to Niagara Falls? Anybody get to Niagara Falls? I don't know, Richard, you have. Have you ever gone to the river above Niagara? Have you? Have you ever seen the signs that are up there? You remember the sign? There's a sign that is on the river above Niagara Falls. Back where the river's flowing and it's not really, you know, it's not really doing anything. But there's a sign that says, past redemption point. Now what does that mean? It means while you're floating along on your canoe or in your boat, if you're stupid enough to do that, but if you go by this, past this sign, you're not going back. Because the river begins to go down and the current begins to take off. And I mean, it is going so fast that if you go by that sign, you're not going to make it. You're going off the falls. And as terrible as Niagara is to stand at the bottom to see the roar, to hear all the thundering of the waters going back, you're in a boat and you're going down. Are you past redemption point? My dad was 46 when he got saved. He thought he was beyond redemption point. I praise God that he wasn't. He wasn't beyond redemption point. And Jesus saved him. I've been around people that were saved in their 40s. I've been around people saved in their 50s, 60s, 70s. I was around a man that got saved in his 80s. There were so few. Very few. Because they trifled with God and they never, ever wanted to face, prepare to meet thy God. They just didn't want to face it. For some of them, they would make a statement. I got to go back to Solomon again. I love what he said in Proverbs 27. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You know, tomorrow's going to be a great day. New year. More things get done on a New Year's Day than any other time. You make all these great plans, never do any of them. How many people have we lost this year in your life? How many people have went to meet God unexpectedly? There's been a few. But on the authority of God's word, all I can say to you, when? All I know is that today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow. It will be a new year. It'll be a fun time. I'll do all those kind of things. But if you're wrong with God today, why are you waiting for tomorrow? Why would you even think about that? Two things, and I'll be done. I want you to judge for yourself whether what I'm talking about today is worthy of your listening to it. I really do. I want you to judge for yourself. Today is the day, right now, here, this morning, is the day of salvation. It might be there tomorrow, but it might not be. Those that travel I-35 could be, you just never know. Those that do anything today, you just don't know. But you know this, right now you're standing on the right side of life. And you have an opportunity to prepare. Can you afford to array yourself against God? Can you afford to say to God, well, you know, I'm not quite ready yet. I got time. What did he say? What did the word say? Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring. Are you prepared? Every one of us have hopes, okay? We all have hope, right? You want to still be here 10 years from now? No. Yeah, you do, Jeannie.
No,
you want to be here 10 years. I want to be here 10 years from now. You want to be here 10 years from now. I know you do, Chance. Yeah. Do you want to be the same person 10 years from now?
No.
Now, some of us sit there and we go, I don't want to be any older. D, it doesn't work that way, does it? We're going to get older, right? Yeah, yeah. We're not all going to be like D or like my mom. We get to make those ages and, you know, some of that. But when you talk about preparing and 10 years from now, what kind of preparations have you made? What kind of preparations have you made spiritually? You want to be the same person 10 years from now that you are right now? I hope my depth, my love, will have grown. I don't know about you, but I know about me. 10 years from now, we sit. You sit. I don't get a sit. In 10 years, I might be sitting. Yeah. In 10 years, as you are seated in this congregation, and I pray that every one of you are still around 10 years, do you want to be the same person? Those kids that we love so much, grandkids, 10 years from now, they'll be growing up. What will they be doing? What will they be doing in their lives? Will you be overjoyed to see the results of that 10 years? If you haven't trusted Christ, I would not be excited about it at all. Because in my estimation, you've wasted 10 years. You've wasted 10 years of your influence, parents, grandparents. You've wasted 10 years when you could have poured yourself into those kids. To make sure they're not lost. What does your influence say? You, God chose you to make a difference. Are you ready for life's end? I don't know. I don't know. If God calls me, I'm ready. If it were 2023, well, Lord, I'm here. He said, yes, I know you're here. Okay. Glad we got that settled. But I know this, God knows that the end, the very end, is inevitable. My friends, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. But I know this too. Every day that we delay, every day that we say, harden our hearts, it gets harder to repent. It's harder to find what Christ wanted us to be. You see, Solomon was so correct. The man was smart. He didn't live very smart, if you ask me, but he was smart about some things. He says in Ecclesiastes 12, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw down. They won't draw nigh anymore. When thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Every day that you delay, it's harder. I've had a lot of broken bones in my life. Parents said I should have just lived in the hospital. Probably would have saved them a lot of time and stayed out of doctor's offices. If you break something, what are you supposed to do after you break it? Broken arms? 3 times. Collarbones? 3 times. Ankles? Must be a trifecta with me. I don't know what the deal is on that. But if you break something, what do you have to do? You have to rehab it. Correct? I mean, isn't that kind of medical science? You rehab it? What if you broke your arm? They slap it up here like this. Do they do that forever? No. Why? Because if you went around like this, say for just a year. I'm not even going to say it, 10 years. And you say, take that thing off, watch me. I'm going to do, you're not going to do anything. Sammy, you testify to that, right? You worked hard to get that motion back. Yeah. And I'm very proud of you for doing that. Because I know that if you don't use it, you'll lose it. You say, well, I broke a hip. I'm sorry. That lady broke 2 of them. She's 100 years old. What is she doing? She said, got up and kept going. Yeah. She's cantankerous, I'm telling you. Not giving up. But she took care of the business at hand. Do we take care of the business at hand? Prepare to meet thy God while you still can. While you have this chance. Every day we watch friends go away. We spend more time in funeral homes. I hate to go to funeral homes almost anymore. But every day a human soul trifles with a holy God. You're playing with something you shouldn't play with. You should never, ever get there. How many of us have prepared to meet our God? Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring. I'll close, give you this, Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Remember now thy Creator in the days of your youth. Why would you want to do that? While the evil days are not here, and we certainly live in an evil day, but we also live in a day of grace. Nor the years draw nigh. We're not in the hospital today. Some are. And it's scary. When thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them, you come to a place that you've turned your back on God so many times that you've just hardened. Well, I can't get saved now. I've heard that over and over in my life. Well, I'm too old, and God won't save somebody like me. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. This conversation this morning is for all of us. It's not a conversation that most of us want, but I know it's a conversation that all of us need. God is the only one that can answer us this. He told us why. He's told you how. And in a very discernible way, he's told us when. When is when he says it's when. And he'll let us know. But only when. I invite you this morning. I invite you to prepare your heart if you haven't already. I invite you to have reassurance. If there's something you just simply say, I'm just not sure about, I invite you. I invite you to make sure that you don't leave 2023 and go, I don't know. Because you can know. You say, well, I was saved. I was saved back. You know, that is fantastic. But if you're living on a 5-year-old's experience with Jesus, 10 years from there, and you still only got a 5-year-old's experience, you need an update, baby. That's all I can say. That's right. You know, we don't send things by courier anymore. Those birds flew the nest. You need to make sure in your own heart what God has for you today. And that is preparation for tomorrow. That's preparation for eternity. And there's not one thing wrong with asking him, Lord, reassure my heart. Give me the assurance that I need in my soul. That I know that one day you call. I'm not ashamed to raise my hand. I'm ready. I'm not going to duck and cover and hide. I'm ready. Are you ready? Have you prepared to meet thy need?